Yeah, we live.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so I was watching Snowfall yesterday, which is another good show.
I love that show.
Yeah. And it had mentioned Fran Hampton being in L.A., so that's why I think he was from L.A. But yeah, you know, just for him to be that young and have that much structure and that much influence on people of all ages and races, in life is definitely cool. One thing I didn't like about the movie, though, well, I'm not gonna say I didn't like, but maybe because I never seen it from that perspective, but it made it seem like it was more of a classism thing. So you know how he went to the poor white folks and yeah. You know, he was telling them like stand by him anywhere. I just don't see how back then, because that's 1968, that was a year after, you know, Martin Luther King got killed. You know, the civil riots. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that wasn't about class at all.
I was wondering, like, I didn't know that he merged with their group or even talked to him. I thought it really was just about like race inequality.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I always thought it was back in those times, especially in the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even that can show you, like, it's really hard for us to become powerful because there are so many factors into what happens when you tell people the truth or what happens when you spread positivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they come for you. You know, you got him, you got Martin Luther King. You know, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, like, it's like if you're against the majority's message or propaganda, like, they get you out of there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Get you crazy.
It's definitely scary. The fact that, and it's actually a true story that he was murdered, you know, right in front of his baby mother, so.
That scene was, like, it made me just feel some type of
yeah
way.
that was tough.
What did you think of Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield's performance?
Oh, they were great.
Yeah.
It's so funny because when they were talking, just the verbiage and the things they were saying, it was like yeah, it seemed like something that they would be saying back there. When he was in the car and the shorty pulled the gun out on him and made him hotwire the car,
mm-hmm.
You know, he was just like, he's like, come on, man, y'all tripping. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just how he was acting. Like, it wasn't on no, like, you know, like how we would say, oh, come on, y'all bugging out, you know, yeah. Stuff like that. Like, he was just like, man. And it was so crazy because the whole time during that scene, and that's why I just give them, like, the highest praise to being able to act out things. The whole time they're playing that scene, like, I'm on the edge of my seat. And it's crazy because In the beginning of the movie, I found myself almost rooting for Lakeith's character.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just like, I'm talking about like when he went in and he's like trying to steal a car, because I don't know who he is at that point when he's trying to steal a car from the guy. Yeah, so it's just like, you know, I see him from all these other movies and I'm like, oh yeah, that's my man. It's like, let's see what he's about to do, you know? And then I kind of seen where it was going when he was just like, they cut off to Fran Hampton. They had the fake Hoover talking about wanting him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, they're going to make him change. But when they were in the town hall, I think one of the last town halls they had when the cop was there,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he going to change. He gonna go against the cops. But, you know, we knew how that turned out before.
It's actually sad. And to think of, like, to be put in Lakeith's place, I mean, the person he was playing, what was his name? Yeah.
William O'Neill.
Yeah. Being put in his place, I think he was supposed to be like 17 or like 18 or 19 mm-hmm. at that age. And to think of, like, you're trying to infiltrate a group and you're trying to take them down. And I don't think, to be put in that position, I don't think that I would have had like a moral standpoint to not do that and just do my time instead. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's another thing I was talking about. I think we talked about that last week when I said it's too many cowards that put themselves before the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I feel like, you know, we were talking about in Baltimore. That's why I feel like as a whole, it's going to be hard for our race to, I can't really say succeed because we are very successful, but I would say unite. It's definitely harder for us to unite because it seems like we're just, as long as I'm doing good and I'm getting a hit, you know, I don't really care about nothing until somebody's doing better than me.
Yeah. But overall, I thought the movie was really well made. And honestly, I do like Daniel Kaluuya as an actor, even though he's British. You know that?
Yeah. I just found that out, too, because my man from Snowfall, Franklin Saint.
Yeah.
When I heard his accent, I was like, what? And like, there's no way.
What I like about like these biopic type of movies is when they show the real person after, mm-hmm. and like hearing Daniel just do the accent of like Fred Hampton, I was like, damn, that was really on point.
That's crazy.
I find that shit so funny.
He did his thing in Black Panther too, though.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was like a smaller role.
His role, you think it was small?
In Black Panther, yeah. Compared to like what's his name, Chad Boseman.
Well, I mean, he was the Panther, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I get what you're saying, because he definitely was. But see, it's crazy because even in this movie, I don't feel like he's the main character.
I mean, it's like half and half. But I see what you mean, though.
Yeah, I feel like he's like, I feel like Lakeith is definitely the main character, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's Judas and the Black Messiah, so it's almost like Fred Hampton was almost like an afterthought. I feel like it's more, even though it did spread a lot of light on what Fred Hampton did for the people, I definitely think this movie was more based on William O'Neill. Mm-hmm. I think his real name is Royce O'Neill or something like that in real life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this was more about him than Fred Hampton. But I think what we do, because, you know, we just, so for our people that, you know, we took the darkness out of that.
You know what's wild, though? Not really knowing too much about the Black Panther Party and what they would kind of tell us or tell me at a young age, that it was just some sort of radical group that was just trying to kill people. And to hear that they were actually feeding kids and giving like free health care and all of that, I was like, wow, they were really just trying to be there for their people. Mm-hmm. And they're just trying to put out this nonsense that it's something else. Even though like they did kill, it was like,
yeah, man, he was busting it with the cops.
Like, yeah, like that. I forgot that one guy's name. I think it was Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was wild.
And I like him from Wu-Tang. I don't know his real name, but he was on the Wu-Tang show. He played.
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, you got to watch that. That's on Hulu. That was actually really good. Mm.
I remember seeing him in that one movie, The Hate U Give. You ever seen that one?
No, but I feel like I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
I feel like I definitely, that was one, something that was on my watch list. But, yeah, some other things that stood out to me about that movie. That dude from Like Mike was on there.
The white guy?
The white guy. It's so funny. It just makes me feel so old because I'm just like, man.
Yeah, he really grew up. Yeah. I don't even know how old he is.
Yeah, he was on Breaking Bad, too. That was like the last little thing I've seen him on.
Heike, he's a really good actor, but he plays like a lot of bad person roles.
Bad people all the time. And then it's crazy because it's like sometimes when you watch like the behind the scenes and people are not even like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're totally different, opposite.
They call him the evil Matt Damon.
The evil Matt Damon. Ah, or like Matt Damon. I can see that.
I cracked up when I saw that shit.
That is funny. But no, have you watched Snowfall yet? The new episodes? The two new episodes?
I'm going to. Like, okay, I decided to rewatch, like, all of it again.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just, I'm probably going to do it next weekend.
I ain't going to ruin it for you, but it was good. It was good. It definitely was good.
I like those type of shows. But all right, that was cool. Damn, I'm just kind of going off the dome right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. We went from Judas. It was something else. Oh, yeah, so the whole Charlamagne thing with Lakeith and that beef, it started from Lakeith actually coming out and saying like a bunch of these blogs and like these shows, they're like anti-black. He had made a comment about it, and Charlamagne the God, he got like offended. He was like, don't you ever call my establishment or don't you ever call me anti-black. And Lakeith was trying to tell him like, listen, all y'all ever do is promote negativity, or y'all don't talk about when a person's doing good. Y'all talk about some drama, or if a person cheated on a wife, or if this person did this, or this person being sued, this person lose this money. Like, Charlamagne the God has this thing called the Donkey of the Day, where he like, it's not always black people, but he talks about like something negative dumb shit that somebody did. Yeah.
Wait, so he's just talking about the Breakfast Club?
But Lakeith wasn't talking. He mentioned The Breakfast Club, but he wasn't talking about anybody in particular. He was just saying, like, a lot of times when I'm watching these shows, I just see a lot of anti-blackness, which is true because I feel like a lot of these shows like to put people on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, so Charlamagne took offense to it. And then he said, which was kind of funny. He said he was talking to, what's his name, Daniel?
Kalia.
Kalia.
Yeah.
He was talking to him and he had said, do you feel weird about being around Lakeith now? Because he almost played that role a little too well. But then,
what does that mean?
He was like, he was too good at being a traitor. Like, he was too good, the role of Royce O'Neal. He was,
I mean, you could look at it like that, but that's negative. But also you could see it as like, he played the role really well. Like, he's a good actor.
Yeah, but he was saying like, nah, he really ain't for the blacks. Like, he really want to get some blacks jammed up. But see, even that, like, that's what he was saying. But it's crazy because it's just like, it's almost like people gotta stop being so sensitive.
Yeah.
So if I would have seen that show, or you know, somebody was to say that about my show, hey, let's reach out. Let's. You got that platform, so let's reach out to him and let's see what you mean. Like, explain your words. Stand by what you were saying. Tell me how I'm doing this, that, that, and the third, and then we can build from it. Because I know he wasn't saying it to like try to take anything from them. He was just saying, you know, y'all don't put out enough positivity.
It could be that.
Yeah. But they should have had him up there and they could have had a nice little conversation about that.
I remember you also saying that, like, Lakeith was going to therapy because of trying to play a role.
He had to reach out and get some mental help because of the, I guess, the depression he was going through with playing a role and realizing, like, what this man had did and the fact that they actually have a documentary on him. It's called The Eyes on the Prize 2.
Yeah, that's what they were saying at the end.
Yeah, and the day that that premiered to the world, that man killed himself.
Yeah.
So
it's like you can't really expect like positive feedback after the doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're already living with that for so long. And he probably was like warming up to Fred Hampton and like the whole community.
Yeah, because you can see like he was like, when he was like, I want you to draw us a blueprint of his house. He was like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah. He's going back to jail. What y'all?
Yeah.
What y'all want to do with him? I think what I don't like about, to jump back to the movie though, what I didn't like about the movie or what about what he did was he didn't have to poison him. You know what I'm saying? He could have let him. It was a lose-lose regardless.
I did not. Holy shit, okay, I remember that part. And I really thought that Lakeith's character thought about doing it, but he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't show it. I'm like, okay, maybe he's just leaving. But like, he still knows that the FBI is just going to come and raid the place. I didn't know that. Yeah,
so it's actually really crazy because I like what they did was how they, even though he didn't have a big part in it, but Mark Clark was also the other guy who got killed in the raid. When he first shot the door. But when Lakeith first got there, he was like, hey, I'm Mark Clark. How you doing? You thinking about joining up? You know, they gave him his little, you know, his little introduction. And it's just crazy to think, like, if that man would have stayed in his hometown instead of coming to help, he would still be, you know, he could have went on and been even bigger. I just think that was a little weak on that behalf. But maybe him poisoning him saved his baby mother's life and the child's life.
Because you think
he would have went all out. He would have.
Yeah.
And it could have ended worse than what it was.
You know what I like to do when watching these type of movies? I like to just put myself in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I imagine, like, in the, well, if you haven't seen it already, we're going to spoil it. In that last scene.
We're going to spoil it.
In that last scene where you said, like, Mark Clark is just, like, in front of the door. And he's just like playing with the lighter and all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, you see these bodies just showing up at the
light. I'm getting a dump, man. Yeah.
And then they turn off the light. I'm like, okay, this is it.
This is it. I'm not. He gonna say who is? Boom! Nah, he would have knocked, and he would have got shot.
And they went in a blaze, and they went crazy.
Oh, they said that the police shot 99 shots.
Yeah.
And they only shot one, and that was the one that Fred Hampton shot, Mark Clark shot when he got shot. So,
damn.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch of crazy stuff behind that. Like, they sued for $47 million, but only got 1.85
after like 12 years.
12 years, yeah. Yeah, I just feel like more people should watch that, and you know, just everybody as a whole, but really us as Black people should, you know, really start banding together and not being so strung up on who got what and, you know,
the negative shit. Mm-hmm. Overall, like I said before, the movie's good. And what I also liked is that it was Daniel Kaluuya, Lakeith, and Lil Ray. They were in Get Out, too.
Yeah.
I like how I feel like they're becoming that new age.
The new face of, like.
Like Black actors. But
yeah.
I fuck with that. All right, on to a little bit of lighter news. Bobby Shmurda got released.
Yep, righty.
Not a big fan of him. Like, a couple songs.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's like a Cardi B. Like, you like the personality. Yeah. You don't really like the music. I mean, he definitely got some cool hits back then. I'm excited to see what he's going to do now. It's good because, you know, like, when we talk about people who don't stick to morals and they take the cheap way out, he definitely didn't. And he definitely looked out for his friends. And he's young. He's my age, so.
He says, like, a lot of life. A lot left to live.
Yeah, a lot. And it's just like some people wouldn't realize, like you say, Lakeith's character, he was only 17 when he got jammed up. Mm-hmm. He'd have came home at 22.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, like, damn, I probably, in hindsight, I would have gone for
years. Yeah, okay, I'd have took my 5 years. You know, you want to jam me up for robbing cars. But, I mean, I guess he looked at it like, shoot, dang, they offered me this. If I say no, they just going to go find somebody else to do it.
Now, you probably didn't even know, like, that they were so calculated, the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's what really woke him up when he got in there, and he just got to see how things were going, and he was just like, you know what, this is actually really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You keep going back to that
because it was such a good movie, man. It just touched on so many facets of life and like what we go through, and you know, it's crazy that it kind of feel like we getting, not really. I feel like we're moving forward, but I think with, you know, did you watch anything about the Trump's deposition? Like what he was going through when they were trying to impeach him? Did you watch the second go around? Okay, so the second go around was crazy. They was talking about all types of stuff, you know, the Capitol thing that happened. They were talking about how he wouldn't condemn white supremacists, Trump. And they were talking about a video, and I really thought this was fake, but this is actually really real. I've never seen or understand how Twitter as an organization would have to block the president from tweeting.
Yeah.
So there was a video where there was this Biden bus driving through Texas, I believe, and there. What it don't show you when you see the video, like the more popular clip, it doesn't show that it was a bunch of Trump supporters trying to run it off the road.
Really?
The tour bus, not the campaign bus.
That's ridiculous.
And Trump tweeted the video. They actually showed it on CNN. Trump tweeted the video and was like, I love Texas.
When was this?
This was this year, during the whole campaign. Like, I think the video happened in like November.
Damn. You see, I'm not even like on social media or like have live TV to know.
I was watching CNN.
Damn.
And I was just like, no, it's no way that this man was doing this. And it was crazy because it was just like, I remember when he first started saying he was running for president, and everybody was like, no, he's not gonna get in. It's no way this. It's no way that. And then he got in, and then it was just like, okay, well, we'll just see where we're going from here. You know, it's kind of like a joke, but, you know, we're just going to see where we go from there. And then it was like the more that he started realizing, like, oh, yeah, I'm head honcho, the more hate that he started spewing. And, you know, he started making people really come out and just feel like it was okay to live the way they used to live. Like, he has his own little, like, group called the Proud Boys, and they go, and, you know, they're just, you know,
being destructive.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't think it's gotten as worse as it was back then, because I think these white people know that, and we ain't our grandparents. I think they know that.
You know what? When people say that,
mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying, but I also think about, like, they had to have a different mindset in that time period.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
And I don't, I'm sure that you're probably not trying to be insensitive with all that shit, because I'm sure that they were, like, already strong as hell.
Yeah, and it's crazy because I say that, but in a way, to be like our grandparents would probably be our best bet, but I think we just too stubborn because, you know, it's called, it's almost like a, okay, this didn't really work. I mean, it worked, but this didn't really work too well, so let's try a different approach. You know, we're, it's just human nature to react to aggression with aggression.
Yeah, you know, but usually that just makes it just a bigger fireball. I was gonna say something. Oh yeah, regarding Trump, and to think about how he has just a group of people kind of backing him, it's very cult-like, and I find it really scary because even after the fact of him losing, they're still out there,
still rocking and rolling, swearing the election was stolen. Oh, look at me with the bars. Yeah,
and the like Trump flag still flying around, and like to me, it just feels like it's a deeper meaning than the love for Trump. It's like a love for their own supremacy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. And that's why I'm saying, like, that is so crazy how unified that they are.
Yeah.
And you see how, even though it's not, you know, he's still not the president, he, just for them to be able to band together the way they did and the way they are and just keep the message going strong, keep it pumping. It just says a lot to, like, you know, to see, like, man, when you really have a group of people that believe in something, they can stand for each other and stand by each other. You know, if we would kind of take that, I know I keep saying it, but if we would take that model, I know we could do a million more amazing things that we've done already. So
I would like,
definitely like to see that.
I would like for them, I'm even, I'm not going to say that. I want that type of mentality to die out, but I feel like it is going to take some time. That's all I'm going to really say on it, because, yeah, like back in the 50s, they were like out and about with it. But like as like the decades came through, it just kind of went smaller, or it was like they just had to be more hidden. But now that the whole Trump era, and then they kind of came back up.
Yeah,
I don't even know how many
cicadas.
Speaking of that, yeah, those witches are coming out this summer.
Yeah,
but yeah, I feel like I just have to just watch myself. But I don't want to make it seem like it's an all-out war.
Oh yeah, I definitely feel you. But no, it's definitely always better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, okay. We are going to play a little video that I found earlier this week, and it involves settling as a man. So let me pull it up real quick. I'm not sure of, hold on. This woman, is there a name? I'm not sure of her name, but I'll play a little bit of it.
And this is merely my opinion right now at this point in the live. From like all the different guys I talked to, all the different one-on-ones I've been with, a lot of y'all are settling, right? I'm going to tell you some real shit, right? And I know the females are like, oh, look at them. She finna tell the niggas they settling for us. Like, why would she say that? Shut up, bitch. I told you you ain't supposed to be on because I'm talking to
shut up, bitch.
But anyway, I feel like a lot of y'all dudes are settling because you don't take the time to do work on self first. What I mean by that is you don't get in your own, like, here's the type of man I know that I am. Like, you don't, like, find your way first. And what I mean by find your way, because a lot of men, like, the woman they end up settling down with played a role in what type of man they are. But a lot of y'all don't even know you a man at first. And I know that could sound kind of weird, but what I mean by that is, like, y'all don't actually do the work to build y'allself to a state where you're even, like, worthy of trying to mix your life with a woman. Meaning, like, y'all be out here without y'all basics together, and you try to get with these females, and of course, all they gonna do is tear into your ego based on what society is conditioning them to believe that a man is supposed to already have together before he mix with a woman. And then if you say this to them, a lot of them, they aren't in control of self or disciplined enough to allow you to go, you know, get your shit together. They want to have you like, well, we can do it. I can help you work on you, and I can help you. They do all this extra shit that ends up bruising your ego. This is why most of y'all, when you do become successful, the one that's with you, or the one that was with you when you was trying to build yourself up. And I'm not talking about the whole, you know, I have this amount of money and my wife helped me grow my company, or my girlfriend helped me grow my... No, I'm talking about y'all be legitimately lost on what y'all want to do with y'all life, y'all self-esteem, certain things, like as far as your basics, like I say, having adequate transportation, having a stable place to stay, covering your responsibilities, make sure you feeding and clothing yourself.
Okay. It's about a 13-minute video. I just wanted to play a little clip of it. But even just those 2 minutes that I played, it says a lot, because it made me look into myself and realize my problems when it came to dating.
Uh-huh.
And it made me realize that my insecurities also had to deal with that I wasn't on my own shit. And I felt like, because society kind of plays a role where guys just have to go after girls after like sex and dating and mm-hmm. just like that in general, it's like I didn't get enough emphasis put on like, you have to be on your own before you go out to somebody else. You have to take care of your own like mental health, your own physical and like financial wealth. And because I wasn't dealing with that and I'm with another girl, I'm insecure because like I feel like I'm not as good as I could be. And if they're talking to someone else, I'm thinking like they already got everything down pat and they're just gonna leave me for them. And I felt, from watching this video, it was like one of those quotes where they say like, I felt attacked.
Yeah.
you I felt definitely personally felt that attacked.
I think what she was saying is a lot what she was saying is very true. I think I've always had that instilled in me, because growing up, like, my mom has always been like the one that brings to, you know what I'm saying, like, not, she's not the she's just always been the leader. So I've seen that, and you know, like, you know, you got to have that respect, and you know, but I just know from the things that I've personally seen, I wouldn't want to live that way. I wouldn't want to feel like, I'm trying to say this without sounding misogynistic, but
say it and we can just probably deconstruct it.
Yeah. So it's almost like, I don't ever want to be put in that position. Like she said, you got these women trying to tell you what type of man you want to be. I think that's why I moved the way I moved, because I've dealt with people who have had their life figured out more than what I have, but I've always been able to do just as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think I've ever like purposely ran from a situation because they were better off than me, but I just know that some situations might not have panned out the way it would have if had I been more receptive to it. But women, when they call the shots, they do have that tendency of like putting a foot on your neck and like making sure you know it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
so it's crazy, because it's like, you know, everything that she was saying, like, it, and even what you were saying as far as like, you know, just making sure you know everything is together. That way, somebody can't look at me and be like, oh well, this person has this, why don't you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Or another thing I wouldn't want anybody to do, and this is so crazy, and this is why I kind of like, I'm that person that I will go without before I even ask from anything from anybody, because the more you let somebody do something for you, the more you'll hear about it, for the most part. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There are some genuine people out here that will do for you, and you do, you know, you know, they might lean on you sometimes when they need it, but I just would never want to put myself in the position for anybody to look at me and be like, nigga, who the fuck are you? I made you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I had to, like, I've always did things myself and I never really asked for help.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I had to change that. But I get what you mean. And it's like having someone hold all that power over you, it can feel like emasculating.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she was saying, you know, as far as like, you know, these people out here and they sitting here trying to mix other people's lives with their own lives and they don't even got their own lives together. And then it just ends up being a more of a dog and pony show where you falling behind listening to somebody else and you not even putting yourself up in the position to be all right. And then, you know, you see you waste all that time trying to entertain somebody else because mm-hmm. of, you know, lust instead of thinking with your head that is above your shoulders. And
a lot of young men definitely think with the other head.
Yeah. And don't set yourself up to, you know, that's what I mean. Just what she was talking about, I actually watched the whole entire video, everything that she moved on to. It was making a lot of sense, but people ain't gonna get it because we just in this stage where it's okay for the woman to be, you know, head honcho, and it's not with me personally, but you know, I am definitely all for women, you know, expressing, you know, that themselves in that way, you know, if they bringing home the bacon, yeah, you know,
like just taking on the leadership role.
Yeah, but I personally I could never, like I said, I grew up seeing that in my household.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw, like, you know, without getting too deep into it, I saw where a lot of the insecurities came from because, you know, he knew he wasn't where he should have been in life and doing what he should have done in life. So it's more like he was crying out for that respect, but you know, it's hard for you to get that respect if you ain't doing what you need to be doing to get that respect. I just can't give you that respect because you're a man. You know what I'm saying? You got to actually walk that walk. And that's why I think I moved the way I moved, because any person I've ever dealt with can say not too many crazy things about me, but they can never deny like the things that I've done for them, or, you know, can't nobody ever say like, oh, he used me, or oh, he was a leech, oh, he did this, that, and the third. Same. You know? Yeah. So same.
What you were saying about the respect, that's another great point. It's like I felt that I was expecting respect from other people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if I'm looking deep inside myself, I wasn't moving in a way to, I wasn't moving in a way that deserved like the full-on respect that I was looking for. Like, mm-hmm. I had respect to a certain level, but I wanted more of it. But it's like, if you're not doing these things, like if you're not walking the walk,
right,
it's like I'm not gonna give you that. So I had to really dig deep inside. And like, and these insecurities of me feeling like less than, I can't be feeling that if I want respect.
Well, so I think that comes with women being able to communicate properly as well, because as a man, it is okay to have feelings and emotions. And I think it's so crazy because the minute a man, well, for me, the minute in some situations that I've been in, the minute I express things that come off as insecurities, to women, they kind of like forget about having to have that respect. So like, if I'm sitting here complaining to you about, not even complaining, but I'm sitting here trying to express myself about, you know, hey, I feel like you don't respect me when you say certain things, or you come off with these biased opinions about things that I do or may not do. I don't know where I'm even trying to go with this, because it's just like, it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to be insecure. It's okay to be vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if you have that right partner, just like whenever they feeling away. We're supposed to bring to you and let them know like everything is okay. They should be able to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I get that.
Yeah. So
that wasn't like necessarily the problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm going to get a little personal. Okay. It's like it kind of goes deeper than that for me because I wouldn't say that I was conventionally good looking or attractive. And if I'm kind of putting like this thought out there of what, like from my experience, like girls usually go for, or the girls that I like, they would go for the light-skinned, tall type of guys.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I'm looking at it, they look better than me, blah, blah, blah. And it's more of an insecurity inside myself, whereas I'm not trying to.
Oh, okay. I definitely get that.
Yeah. I'm like projecting it.
I don't know. I think it's funny. I've never had that. That issue. I just wish I was tall. I just wish I was taller. I think the reason why I never had or never thought like that is because people are gonna do what they want to do regardless. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I feel as though if you got somebody that's spending time and investing time and doing all these things with you, they're doing it for a reason, especially women. Most women aren't like us as far as like feeling like, oh, there's something I gotta conquer. There are women out there like that, but
when you say conquer, like what do you mean?
Like, you know, like how we are, like sometimes it's just physical,
like you
know?
Just want
it's
body.
Just yeah, something, yeah. It's like you, who this is gonna sound crazy, but you ain't about to go and build a relationship. Well, no, because I don't want it to sound crazy, but for the most part, if a man's gonna go and invest time in a woman and be there for that woman, you know, try to be with that woman, it's not because, well, no, because that happens too, because people, and this is something I never understood, like, I guess, no, yeah, that's my point, like, men just want to conquer, that's what we want to do for the most part, we spend all this time and money and, you know, we say the right things to get what we want at times, but women aren't like that. Women aren't gonna come be all in your face, be surround all up around you and stuff like that, and spend the time and do all this stuff like a relationship or actually get in a relationship with you just to hit, you know what I'm saying? Women aren't like that. Women.
But to like, they get in relationships for money.
Yeah, but we ain't no billionaires right now. So
that's true.
You know, so if somebody dealing with us, it's generally because, you know, sometimes, and you can see when it is like, this is just this. But when you got somebody that's like up in your face and y'all been rocking for a minute, like my mind would never go to like, oh, she might see this and feel like this is what she want. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And not saying that it's not capable of happening, because I'm quite sure it is. But, yeah, I just think the type of people that we are and the type of people that we attract to ourselves, I don't think we would ever run into that issue. Mm. But people do grow tired of people. But that also falls on us as well. Like, you can't keep doing the same thing. Like, sometimes you got to switch it up. You got to, you know, still flirt with your girl. Like,
yeah, you gotta it's keep
the first.
There.
Yeah, like, it's the first day you ever. You know, just got to keep it fresh. You know, you can't just rely on thinking you look like, or thinking you got it locked down, you know?
Yeah, you always got to continue working on yourself.
Yeah,
definitely. But I don't want to, how do I say this? I'm just not given that type of mindset anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is something that I had to work through. So it's really funny because we both had different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because I had to grow up with like a skin condition that was just like all over me, I had a much different experience, whereas David was like, yeah, you didn't really have to deal with those problems.
I had pimples. I had real big pimples, but it's funny because, I don't know, I was slow. Like, I ain't had my first kiss and stuff like that till I was like ninth grade, I think. Mm. So I was really slow, but like, I always got attentions from girls. Mm-hmm. Like, I always just, you know, even they want to be my friend or whatever. So I can't think about in middle school, and I think this is probably why I was so slow, because I just had real bad acne. So I used to just thinking, like, I don't want to be walking with no girl, and then my pimple popped. Oh, dude.
Wait, was it like bad acne?
Bruh, I had craters on my face.
Oh, shit.
At 6th, 7th, and 8th grade was bad. They used to call me Rumpel Steel Skin. They used to call me Bump Nose, Bumpy Johnson. Damn. Bruh.
That's crazy.
Deep Creek Middle School, they had the jokes, man. You ask anybody. Even into Chesapeake a little bit, I remember one day, I had a pimple, like, it was, like, right underneath my eye, and it was huge, and it had popped, and I remember I put a Band-Aid over it. They was giving me the blues. They was like, "Who the fuck you think you, Nelly?" Like, it was bad, man. It was real bad. Yeah. I used to have fucking super duper craters on my face. So I think once I got off the sugars and being so addicted to candy and stuff like that, I think that definitely changed things. But no, it's definitely good when you start to see yourself for who you are. Another thing I wish I had was a beard. I wish my beard connected. So that's another thing I look at. It's like maybe a standard, you know, where my insecurities kind of creep in. Mm. But yeah, once I get a beard, it's a wrap. It's a wrap for everybody.
I guess we all have them at different levels.
Yeah, it's definitely. We all have them at different levels. I ain't even about to sit here in front, like, yeah, because I'll be thinking, like, shoot, my dad's 6'2". Why couldn't I be 6'2"? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. How the hell I stop right there? But
I get it. Yeah. But with all of that, with the video, it is eye-opening to learn that, yeah, you really should be working on yourself before you try to put that energy into another person.
In every aspect, because you can go so much further if you put more attention and focus into yourself, mm-hmm, versus just trying to chase some tail.
And if you do that, you'll understand that whatever doesn't work, it's not because of what you it just doesn't work.
Yep.
So yeah, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Now, I just read today that these stimmies coming through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man, they got the $1,400 coming, and then for the people who are got full furloughed or unemployed, they got an extra $400 for you. But they're trying to pass an amendment where, as though, for people who get paid under minimum wage, so like $15 an hour and under, your extra won't run out. So you know how you get, like, for instance, when I got furloughed last year, I was getting $286 because I wasn't making that much from my previous jobs, mm-hmm, but I was getting an extra $600, but it ran until about August, and then it dropped off. But luckily, I got another job. I could have went back to the warehouse, but I was like, you know what, I'm just going to shoot my shot with the post office, so I did that, and it's panning out really good, because I was looking at it like, shoot, if I can get furloughed once at this warehouse job, I can get furloughed again, so.
Yeah, like, nothing is, like, for certain.
Yeah, so I definitely was like, people always need mail, mm-hmm, so ain't no way in the world I'm going to get furloughed. Well, knock on wood. Yeah, but.
Damn, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, so they're trying to pass it to where, so it won't, the extra won't run out for people making 15 and under, and all you wealthy, fortunate people who are making over 15, you know, you're just gonna have to get stuck with the decent amount that y'all are getting once it runs out. Hmm. So save your money wisely.
Yeah.
I advise everybody to go get certified in something, go learn a trade. If you're sitting on furlough and getting unemployment, you got nothing but time, you know, go enhance your life.
Try to find those jobs where they pay you to learn said trade.
Yep.
That's what I did when I lost my job one time.
Mm-hmm.
I became like a tax preparer, like I did.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. I definitely remember that.
That should help me, and then I just kind of grew from there.
Yeah, I think I want to learn how to cut hair.
Yo, they make bread.
Yeah. I think I want to learn how to do that, but my only thing is, like, I get bored with things easily. Now I want to be in the middle of cutting somebody's hair and just be like, you know what? I don't want to do this. Tough luck, my nigga. You rocking the Mr. T cut.
No, somebody, you catching a fade.
Shit, I got hands.
Fight my barber is funny as hell. Nah, but
Nah, I definitely want to learn how to cut hair. I definitely want to learn a trade to wear, a skill to wear, so I can always make money without working. Cause I am so tired of working. I've been working for I've been working for almost 9 years now. I'm over it.
Tell the people that's working like 40, 50
I know.
Plus.
I don't see how y'all do it.
And when they work at the same spot, I don't understand.
Yeah,
that.
As a lady who works at my post office now, she's literally been working for the post office, that same office, the same amount of time I've been alive. A little bit longer. And it's just like, it's crazy to think like, yo, I was born, went through all these schools, went through these jobs, doing this, doing that, just to end up exactly where you at this whole time I've been finding myself in life.
Yeah.
And boom, here I go. I meet you right here.
Damn.
She's a lovely lady, though. She's definitely dope.
Shout out to her.
Yeah, shout out to her. She's so funny. She always sings Whatever You Like by T.I. to me. I think she'd be coming on to me. I'm like, I don't know, because she's a little short white lady. It's so funny because I'm just like, you know, is that the only song you know? You really try to say something.
Slide her the R&B playlist. Mm-hmm. Wait, are you a fan of rap or R&B more?
R&B. Same. I listen to R&B all day. It's crazy because it's just crazy because growing up, I remember my stepdad, he used to look at me like, bruh, you should not know these songs the way you know these songs. R&B. Yeah. And he would be like, man, listen to some DMX. And I love DMX now because I think when I was younger, I just didn't get it because, I still have my innocence. So I didn't really understand like certain struggles that come through music, and R&B music was just all about love and,
I felt the same way. Actually, like DMX was the first person I listened to like with curse words.
Mm-hmm.
And from there I was like, oh shit, this is kind of fire. But as I like kind of progressed through it, I eventually found my way to R&B.
Yeah.
And honestly, I find myself vibing with it more.
So this is something. Ooh, look at this. Another comparison that we can have. So the other day I was talking to my friend, and he said he was looking at this thing, and they were like, Brent is better than Bryson, but not better than Giveon. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I kind of agree with it. Because Giveon's sound is just, I can listen to Giveon all day. It's just crazy. Like, I wish he would make longer albums.
I like the shorter albums.
I mean, I do too, but then it just, when it's over, it's like, that's them stories. Like, I think that's why I love Good Kid, Mad City so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stories in between the songs.
Oh, the skits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like, and then what he's talking about, you know, as far as like being in love, getting over someone, dealing with, he got a song called Heartbreak Anniversary.
Yo, that whole album is fire.
Bruh, he just, it's just so crazy because it's just like, we only love what we relate to. So I think that's why we get so attached to it. I think that's why I don't listen to much rap as I listen to R&B, because I ain't going out here shooting nobody.
I'm not fucking people's bitches.
Yeah, I mean, I used to, but sign up.
That's a whole like, toxic. That's toxic.
But
better than Brent, though? I don't know. Because, like, I recently did start listening to him. And
Brent is fire.
Listening to, what was it called? Saunderson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's his. You know that the drummer or the producer went to Catonsville High School?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. And that Brent is from Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that what you heard, Caring or Care, Search, Too Fast. They definitely got some, he definitely got some hits. I would say Giveon's better just because he just got that sound and it's
like his voice.
Yeah, it's just different. And it's like for him to be able to, make that, them albums and construct it as well as he did, it's almost like an experience when you listen to it for the first time, and then every other time, you know, you kind of like get a different piece, or you know, you get tapped into like a different emotion. I like Brent's music, but Brent, it's almost like Future. So like, I'm a big Future fan, but you know, in my current lifestyle right now, I'm not really toxic. Yeah, so it's like, same. I can't really listen to too much Brent or too much Future, because you know, I kind of get, not saying I'm like heavily influenced by music, but sometimes I just get in that mindset, and then you start to see things in your real life that's going on, and then you're looking at it like, oh, do I need to start acting up again? Yeah. Or like what's going on?
Let me peep this out.
Yeah, so
that's funny.
Yeah, I definitely would say.
So like Giveon is just more of like a traditional R&B artist, you would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, I feel, yeah, like he is.
He's actually older too. Like, I didn't know he was, I thought he was like, well, I say older, but he's still in our age range. But I just thought, you know, with him breaking onto the scene last year, I would think he would be like 24, 25. He's like 31 or 32 or something like that.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, he's up there. He's up there. Let me get you his exact age.
And you remember, or do you know Lucky Day?
Oh, Lucky Day is dope.
That nigga's like 34, 35.
What?
Yeah. Black don't crack.
Oh, wait, somebody lied. Giveon only. Giveon is 25. Somebody told me he was 30-something.
That voice is like 30.
I read something saying that he was 30, and he won something when he was 18 in, like, 2011. Hey, oh, that would have... Yeah, I was 18. I was 18 in 2012, so yeah.
You like Bruno Mars?
I like old Bruno Mars.
What's old Bruno Mars? Like Grenade? All right. You don't like 24K Magic?
I don't feel like that's R&B. I feel like that's very... pop-ish. Oh,
man. Even so, like, without kind of putting it into the genre, you just don't like it.
Was it an album, or are you talking about the whole song, the 24?
The whole album.
Oh, I didn't listen to the whole album. So maybe I need to go listen to the whole album now.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Okay. Good. No, Bruno definitely make good music. I ain't gonna say he don't. But when you got stars like The Weeknd,
okay,
it's like, how do you make the time to listen to anything else other than, you know?
Well, because there's people, I'm going to say it, better than The Weeknd.
There aren't many. And the ones that are not here. So.
Okay. I feel like one who's probably better. Let me see.
We talking about pop R&B?
R&B? Then I don't know. Wait, no. Bruno Mars.
Is better than The Weeknd?
Okay, I can't.
The Bang Bang Gorilla Digga is better than The Weeknd.
I don't know.
Ain't no way.
Like, he has some great music, but The Weeknd has really good music.
Bruh. Listen.
I'm wilding right now. I'm going to take that back.
You tweaking. Who else I listen to?
I like Daniel Caesar a lot.
Daniel Caesar's definitely fire. Coffee. You listen to her? She's more reggae.
Oh, she's cool, yeah.
I listen to her. I like what she did with the remix to his song. It's this kid, what is his name? Sebastian, what is his name?
Oh, while you're searching for that, have you ever heard of a guy named Jameson?
Mm-mm.
Yo, his music is like kind of like old R&B / funk,
mm-hmm,
but it's so fire. I'm gonna play a little something.
Sebastian McCall, have you ever heard of him?
Nah.
Fire. Fire.
Okay, hold on.
He got an album called I See You, You See Me. Fire. Gotta right. Listen to it.
I'm gonna put that on Apple Music. Okay, so this guy's name is Jameson. This is his album called Velvet.
Mm-hmm.
This song is called So Badly. When I first heard this, I was like, damn. You know what? You play a song from an artist that you like too.
What's that? I like this. I like the little funky.
Oh,
Oh yeah, I definitely like this. Yeah, that was definitely dope. Yeah, this man Sebastian, man. Let me put y'all on right quick.
Let's see what it's like. Is that the 12?
Yeah.
Ain't she something? Sundress on with her hair in the gray. Something special. Our connection's more physical. Level one. Spiritual, and that's just how my heart is won. Just let my love fall, and love will follow you. I feel like I got one, I know I can show my mom. You just count that 12 inch room, there would still be entity.
Alright, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll fuck with it.
Yeah. He's definitely dope. Another person who I would put up there, even though it's a group, but it's only one singer who's up there, kind of up there with The Weeknd, is Division.
Oh, yo. I've been listening to that music. It's really good.
Yeah, they definitely are fire. It's another guy, too. Arian. What is his name? Arian. Oh, Aaron Ray. A-R-I-N Ray. He got a cool little song with Babyface. It was cool.
A-R-I-N Ray.
Song's called Always.
You gonna play that?
Yeah. I actually found the song I just played. I found that during quarantine. I was actually cleaning the house and I was just letting a little playlist on Apple Music play, and that joint came up and I was like, oh, I gotta add this. Hold on.
Sometimes their playlists be fire.
I like this song. This is like my driving music right here. To put something in because I ain't trying to get seen.
I don't know. I think we'll just keep it like that. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But one more. Do you like Sir?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Love him. Love him. Actually, I do not have anything else on the docket. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, it was just on the tip of my damn. Because I was talking about Future earlier and I got to thinking about. He was just in the Go Crazy remix. Have you heard that yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so in the song, he goes, I cheat on you, you cheat on me, you ain't you ain't loyal. And that line to me is just so wild because it's just like, this man can say anything. Also, later on in the song, he said, I had a threesome with a Muslim and a Christian. I felt like Jesus Christ when I did it. Like, it's like, yo,
he is wild.
That lifestyle is just like, it's enticing. It's definitely enticing. But then it's like, when you look back at it, you just like, sheesh, like, to be that toxic is.
It's too much. It's a lot of draining energy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not enticing when you have, like, to pay child support for mad kids.
Oh, I'm smart. I'm smart, bro. You know I ain't playing around with nothing. Like,
you telling me with all those like fine women?
Oh yeah.
That's good.
Listen, I'm so afraid. It's gonna happen. So I'd rather it happen with it on than with it off. So
always wrap it up.
Yeah, that'd be. caught with it than without it, I like to say.
You know, another funny line that he said was, I ride for my niggas, I lie to my bitch.
Yeah. Yo, another one. Oh, see, we about to just, we got, he said, what did he say? He said, in the song with Janae, the freak, he said, I just want you to worship me. I like what I like. Like,
he says it how it is, and they still flock to him.
I feed you to the woods if you don't talk to me nice. Like, he was really spitting. Like
every now and then I like to go back. Actually, listening to Dirty Sprite 2, that shit is still A1. I love that album. I use it when I'm working out. That and Migos, The Culture, the first one.
Yeah, that's the across the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely dope. Sheesh. I feel like now that we in here, I ain't trying. Okay, so I guess you from I guess this will be the last thing. I guess with you being from Maryland, and I definitely get a lot of mixed reviews about this artist. I personally love this artist. How do you feel about Wale?
Okay, with Wale, I did like a handful of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've seen interviews with him.
Okay.
And with how he kind of acts, I don't like his character. And I feel like, to me, he comes off someone who is kind of hurt and corny. And just kind of like putting that with the music. Sometimes I try to separate the artist and the music, but I just can't with him, and I just don't really fuck with it.
I get it. I see what you're saying by hurt. I think he's underappreciated. I think when it comes to the music aspect and like, you know, the culture and like what he did for the DMV, because we ain't really have nobody, even though I don't really associate myself with the whole DMV, but I just remember being in ninth grade and him, you know, Cudi giving us what he was giving us during that time. 808 Heartbreaks coming out my ninth grade year. And just, you know, having that 90210, that looking at me, the pretty girls. He really was doing his thing back then. I just felt like, you know, he said in this one song, him and Cole came on at the same time, but Cole got put on The Stars Born, and nobody really looked out for Wale like that, even though he was putting on for an area, and J. Cole kind of had like a you know, push from, you know, big labels, big wigs.
Wait, so I mean, I remember like the first song he came out with, or that made me like listen to his music, the one with Lady Gaga.
Looking at Me.
Yeah, yeah. And he was like DC chilling. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
From then on, I was like, okay, I want to see what else he does, and then like the Flower Bomb song, I was like, that one's fire. And there were some other ones too, but it's like
Ambition, he had the MIA. But even before that, I think what introduced me to I was a real big Wayne fan, and Wayne jumped on Nike boots, and that's what got me on to Wale. Fly than the rest of them, still got my Nike boots. That's that was Wale's song, and then Wayne jumped on there and killed it.
The thing with what you were saying about like him being underappreciated, I feel that I've heard him kind of say the same thing, but in a more like an aggressive tone. It's like, y'all ain't looking out for me and blah blah blah. That type of shit turns me off.
I get that, but at the same time, it's just like, oh, I guess. Oh man, it's crazy because we ain't have nothing, but there's so many things that you can spin into.
Yeah.
I get him, and it was almost like he kind of was like ahead of his time with this thought, because when he was saying most of this stuff is when social media was just popping off. And I think the nasty thing that I see about social media is that social media, or people in general, will wait till an artist dies before they start really bumping them. The Pop Smokes, the Juice WRLDs, King Von's, so on and so on. Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah.
Like, bruh.
Definitely.
I remember my first time hearing a Nipsey Hussle song, I was probably in like the fifth grade.
I didn't know about
crazy.
Him. I didn't know about him until like a year before he died.
I was in the fifth grade in 2005.
That's wild.
And it's like he dropped the the album that he dropped before he was killed, and people definitely was listening to it because, you know, he was neighborhood Nip at that point. He was just a legend, so, you know, you're gonna tune in because, you know, it's a great talking. Mm-hmm. But Victory Lap, when Victory Lap dropped, I feel like nobody really gave it the attention until he got killed. Yeah. And then it just went through the roof. And I feel like what Wale was saying, it's just like, you know, don't wait till it's too late to give him my flowers. Like, you know, he in my opinion, he's great. He's one of the best lyricists in my generation.
I have no, like, disagreement with that. Okay. I feel like he's a good lyricist.
I was going to say, you know, because it's like we give Cole that. We give Cole just. Cole is great, don't get me wrong. But I think the love that we give him. And it's funny because initially coming in, he was corny to me as well because he was screaming like for attention and jumping up and down and doing all this other stuff and, you know, ripping and running. I think back to, like, if you just listen to Voluminati, that was the album with the Power Trip. If you listen to how, like, if you listen to how hungry he still was in that album and how towards the end of the album he has a song on there called Chaining Day, it's almost like he start to see, like, everything that Wale is arguing for and wishing for ain't what it is. And I think that's why he dropped that song when he dissed Wale, called False Prophets, to let him know, like, man, just be you. Like, it'll come to you. If it's meant for you, yeah, it'll come to you. So, but it's crazy because he had to actually go through it and experience it to get to that. So that's why I say sometimes it's hard for us to knock people on things that they just don't know about. So it's like you got to teach them, you got to walk them, you got to hold their hands and be like, hey, look, you know, you want this, but I'm telling you that what's on the other side of this gate ain't, you know, what you think you want. And yeah, I think Wale was just, you know, from being from this area and not from us not having too many mainstream artists, I think he was just like, look, we got talent here. Look, I'm the only one doing this here. I'm giving y'all hits after hits after hit. Lotus Flower Bomb was crazy for the time that it came out. It was
very popular.
Crazy.
All over the radios.
So, you know, yeah, that whole album was good.
You know, I also think about how you're saying that with the labels. Cole was with Def Jam, right?
Yeah.
And then Wale was with MMG. I don't know if he was with anybody else.
Yeah, MMG is like an under thing of just Def Jam, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then to think about, like, he was with Meek Mill and Rick Ross. And I felt like that was just like a trio that was probably going to be coming up more. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they just kind of like disbanded or whatever.
Yeah, because they felt like Wale wasn't trying to play a certain role because Wale knew he was bigger than just being a singer on some songs or the hooks. It kind of was like what they was trying to do. Everybody saw, and if you think about it, everybody saw what Drake and Birdman did with, Wayne and Birdman did with Nicki Minaj and Drake. Mm-hmm. And so everybody tried to mimic that. And Wale was just looking like, nah, bro, y'all ain't about to do me like that. I ain't about to be no, you know, whatever, because, you know, he make music without him.
I mean, but look at that example of Drake and Nicki Minaj. They became superstars. Sometimes you have to do things that you don't want to do to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, but if you got that belief in yourself, why settle? Why limit yourself?
I understand that.
Why limit yourself? And that's why, like, I understand it. And then, like, even if you look at the Drake part of that ordeal, I feel like Drake was such a big artist on his own that it kind of started being hard for Drake to be a side study. You get what I'm saying?
Like in his earlier years?
Yeah, because if you think like how they had him parading around on Bedrock, like,
yeah,
you know, it was almost like they saw that he was gonna bubble, but they didn't think it was gonna be as big as he was. Because when he dropped that Take Care, it was just like,
even before that, like, he was still really popular.
Yeah, but he was still like building that image. So he came out with Bedrock, then he dropped the Thank Me Later. He already had Room for Improvement and Comeback Season out. Mm-hmm. Then when he dropped Thank Me Later, it was just like, oh no, this kid is good, because he had the Best I Ever Had song on there. Mm-hmm. And that song was just crazy. And then Wayne came out with all of the No Ceilings. And when Drake dropped, 2011, Drake dropped Take Care. And it was curtains from that. He couldn't be no side piece.
I'm still trying to understand, though. It's like, I don't view Wale as like a side piece though. As like he can hold his own.
But that's not how they were trying to rock with him. Like he was, if you go back to that first MMG Volume 1 album, whatever that was called, it was a lot of songs where it was them Big Wolfing and then Wale coming in with some like some hook or some this or some that. Like he was just a hook artist.
I don't know. But with like that whole thing, it's like I understand that you that you can see further, mm-hmm. and like you know what you want, but I also understand like it all doesn't come to you the way you want it.
Yeah, but if you look at it from his perspective, he was on before both. Well, not before Rick Ross, but he was on before Meek Mill. So how I'm supposed to just take a seat back because this guy coming in and he hot and he bubbling, he doing this at Meek Mill ain't come out till
that was like 2011.
Yeah, I was damn near done with high school. Wale was.
Yeah, like 2009, 2008.
Yeah, I was in middle school when Wale dropped a looking at me.
You know, it could also be like a colors type of thing too.
Yeah. Definitely.
Who knows? Shout out to Wale. Yeah, the music is good, but
Wale hey. Though.
Hey.
It's definitely good. Dang.
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
All right, I'm good. Good.
All right, y'all. Thank you for joining us again, and we will see you next week.
Next week, and we will be more organized, and things will be. I feel like this one was good, though. This one's really good.
Yeah, I like this one. All right, y'all. Take care.